LFG Mode, the team is a dynasty.
What you gonna be? A hustler, a customer. They buying, we selling, but everything legal, bro. Snooze too long, then it's hard for you to waken up. Never had an hour job, but I stack paper up. 20 years old, ain't too early for no credit, bro. 30 years old, ain't too late to get your credit up. What you gonna do if they issue you a pay cut? And all your money gone from your savings, you was stacking up. All we trying to say is, don't be him home. Muscle up with gym, not the gym with the wide home. Really take flight, not just get fly home. Get in the car to make them feel some type of way like Rich Home. What we trying to say is, you gotta make investment. Paper money won't last if you don't invest it. Something like Credit Suite, cleaning up your messes. Learn the equity and even how to do your taxes.
If you can buy one house, you can flip two. If you can buy one car, then you can buy two. If you ever save $1,000, you can save two. Stop working hard, let the money do the work for you. You can buy one house, you can flip two. If you can buy one car, then you can buy two. If you ever save $1,000, you can turn it into two. Stop working hard, let the money do the work for you.
All right, you already know what it is. Mike Clark, Kill Procrastination. And on today's episode, man, we got a fire episode. It's actually part two of the laundromat story I was telling you guys about. I say story because you already know, man. Stay tuned. Boom. All right. All right, so let's talk about what's going on, man. I know you guys want to know. This was actually my first property, commercial-wise, that I actually put an offer in on. It was a little different. I actually kind of try to skip a process that, I mean, for me right now, I guess it's not going to work. I am definitely working on getting my realtor's license so I can make these offers myself, write them up myself, make them as official as possible. Not saying that you can't write your own offers up without being a realtor, but you know, I just think it's easier for me to get that information, learn how to write up properly, and then also to make sure I know how to speak to other brokers, other realtors the right way, right? So with this particular property, if you go back to video number one, it should be somewhere over here, over there. We just went over what the numbers were, the initial offer, what, you know, how I found it, you know, all of that stuff. So I want to skip that part. I want to go straight into the numbers, just give you guys a quick reminder of what was going on. So, like I said, I passed this property up. I've seen it, viewed it. The guy wanted $299,000 for this property, right? I was like, let's go take a look at it. Now, I am in the market of looking for a commercial property, but I really wasn't ready to. But like I tell you guys all the time, if you see opportunity, you definitely got to jump on it and, you know, just evaluate those numbers. And if it's if it's something you can pull the trigger on, you pull the trigger on it, you know. Doesn't mean you need to force the numbers, but you need to understand, like, look, you're not going to be finding, you know, commercial properties don't come up all the time, especially the particular ones that you're looking for. So you have to take the time to be like, look, once came up, let me stop, time out, pause, do all that. And let me find out if this is going to be a good deal or not. So, like I said, he was selling for $299. I immediately went over to the property. Once again, it was like 5-10 minutes away from me. There was actually a lady that was working in it. So, what I suggest you guys do, anytime you go to any of these deals, man, whether you're trying to find a property and it already has tenants in it, or it has someone that's working in a commercial property, hey, man, fish for information. The same way you fish for that gossip at work, the same way you go to school and you want to gossip about the next person, who dating who, da 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 da. It's the same thing you do in business. You fish out that information to make sure that hey, is this even profitable? Hey, how do you like it? What's wrong with the building? You know what I'm saying? Same thing. You talking about your girl, your man. Hey, you really want to interview the ex to find out the truth. Hey, did he give out gifts? Did she give out gifts? You know? Does this person got money? They go to school, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? It lets you know. It at least gives you an idea. You don't ever want to judge a book by its cover. That's facts all day. But one thing you do need to do is you do have to do your due diligence. So like I said, when I got the property address, I went over there. We talked to the owner. We spoke about one of the red flags was three of the washing machines were down. what was 3 washing machines, 1 dryer, and we were speaking to the lady that's actually renting it from her, right? Renting it from the owner. And the owner was doing something basically where he was charging her $50 a day to utilize the laundromat. And whatever she made was, you know, was of course her profit, but she, another red flag was she was saying she's barely making ends meet and she's barely making enough for her. Now, I don't know if that was just a bluff. I mean, we all play poker, right? You know, I don't know if that's what she's doing. You know, she says she's also entertained other people coming in because this thing has been on the market for over a year now. So, you know, a lot of people, investors came in and out. So I don't know how much information she wants to give out, but I really felt like she was telling me the truth. So with that being said, you know, $50 a day, and then I do the math, 50 times 7, and then I'm like, okay, what's that for the month? And I'm like, dang, that's not even a lot of money. So I'm like, and then the other red flag was he doesn't have any past income statements at all. You know, if you're getting a business, that's one of the main things you want. You want to know if it's profitable. Hey, are you making money right now? Because I want to be able to add to. I want to find a property I can add value to. Not necessarily I have to start all the way over, because essentially that's what I'm going to have to do with this property. Because, you know, so I guess let me rewind back. So that second initial call, the first initial call, she, you know, I think she was talking too fast when she told me, well, basically we're just selling the building and the equipment, not the business. And then I'm like, why? So when we finally figure all that piece out, we found out that he doesn't want to do that because why? He doesn't have any income statements. So he can't necessarily sell the business because no investor is going to want to buy into a business where there's no proof of income. You know, I can't go off of that. So you got to remember that. The third thing that I did is, of course, what I tell you guys immediately when you guys inspect anything, whether it's commercial, residential, once again, you know, hey, do you due diligence? I don't know everything, but this is just me personally, right? I check the structure. I check the equipment. I check the people, you know, and I check the damn process. You know, those are the things I check. The roof as well, the water heater, you know, the heat, the AC, like those are the biggest, those are the biggest things that you must check immediately to make sure, okay, these things don't go out, everything else is cosmetic. And if it's cosmetic, that's not that much, all right? That what I told you earlier, those are the heavy hitters. So once again, just continuing the conversation with the young lady that actually works there, finding out, you know, there was immense value that I could have added to it. Because one, there's no vending machine. What laundromat you been to that doesn't have a vending machine? That's at least $1,000 right there a month, $2,000 a month, depending on how busy it is. The other value added was there was no, you know how when you go to a laundromat, you can get the soap, you can get the stuff you want to put in the dryer, all that stuff from one of the vending machines. They didn't have that. I'm like, that's another value added. And then I'm like, okay, what else can I add to it? And the last thing I was thinking about was, okay, well, we can get contracts and we can become like a dry cleaner, because that was another business that she was kind of doing on the side, but I don't think she fully understood it. And I'm like, well, I could definitely bring that to this facility. And one of the last thing that needed to be added was a big market piece was, of course, social media, right? Look, I'm recording this on YouTube. I'm doing a podcast at the same time. I'm on TikTok, all this stuff. And we understand how powerful social media is, right? So not only to a broader scale, but also to your local market, right? I mean, how many people don't want to do anything? They just want to go on Facebook, Google, order something, or an app. Don't get me wrong, get an app and you just get everything done that way. That's how quick everything is nowadays. And they're definitely not using it because, one, they don't know what they don't know. And then, two, you know, they're a lot older. So I doubt they even use social media like that. You know, it's usually for the younger, you know, the younger tigers. You know what I'm saying? Younger people. But, you know, it's okay. If you don't want to change with the times, don't change with the times. But the times is going to get you. It's going to get you. So that was one of the biggest things that I was having an issue with. So we made that initial offer, like I said. So once I seen all of that, I did my calculations. I said, nah, man, I'm going to have to buy a new dryer, new washers. It's going to need a new coat of paint. I already know I got to replace this the AC unit, which is nonsense. It was going to be a lot of work, right? A lot of work. And I'm like, nah, $200,000 seems reasonable. Now, $200,000 was a little low. However, I was banking on a counter. I was immediately hit with a no. And then what I told my realtor was, say, hey, look, we're really interested in this property. You know, give us a counter offer. And they did hit us with a counter offer, which was a little bit better. But I'm about to get right into it and let you know. So they countered us with $240,000. And I was like, okay, cool. I think I could do $240,000. That don't sound too bad. And that was going to include all the equipment. It was going to include everything that was needed, the business, all of it. I would have got all of it. But the thing that killed me was they not only wanted the $240,000, but they also wanted me to pay all closing costs, which I was fine with on my side, right? But he also wanted me to pay his closing costs. And when you break that down and you do the math for that, that's an extra $30,000 in fees that I would have had to pay. And I just didn't feel comfortable doing something like that, where I feel like he knows that, one, he's not profitable. Two, you know, he know he's not making any money. I know he's nickel and diming everything. So it's like I said, if you can see somebody showing their hand, I can tell that he's showing his hand. One, like I said, it's been on the market for over a year now, right? He's got someone in there that he's charging $50 a day. Anything that breaks down is what she told me was, you know, they're going to have to split the difference or go half and half on parts needed because he works on the machines. So I know that he's not making the income he's making, so he doesn't really have room to really fully negotiate. I know that really realistically, I may be the first offer he's gotten. Now, if you want to wait and hold your cards, then more power to you. But you might not get this same offer. So because you don't want to pay your closing costs and you want to put it on me because you're trying to take all profit. Because once again, what I say, it sounds like, you know, there's some stuff going on in the background that he needs this money, which I understand how bad you need it. But look, I'm not going to be paying for Joe Schmo and everybody else. You know what I'm saying? I think I gave him a reasonable offer. I think it was the best offer he could have gotten at the time. And if he does sell it, great. If he doesn't, he's going to look back on it. I even had one time where, you know, my walkaway game so strong, my realtor's like, well, you know, if you offer an extra $20,000-$30,000 on a particular deal, you'll be able to get it. I said, nah, man, this is what it's worth. This is what I know it's worth. And I was very confident in it, whether I knew it or not. And literally, I tell you, it had to be like maybe 3 weeks later. The realtor came back and said, yeah, he'll take that offer if it still stands. I said, nah, I moved on. You know, but it was still a good offer at the time. I didn't have the money at the time. I wish I could have, but I was inside. I was like, see? I mean, a lot of people are trying to, one, you already got caught holding the bag, and two, you're trying to hold out for some immaculate number because, you know, you believe your property's worth more than it really is. You know, I've been faced with that. I've done that. I've dealt with that, thinking that I've had something that's worth more than what it really is. I know a lot of people who got things and own a lot of things, namely cars, who think they're worth $30,000-$40,000. And nah, man, go try to trade it in and see how much it's really worth. It's not worth what you think it's worth. So that's the thing with this, with commercial, man. Like I said, it's my first offer I actually officially put in. I've seen multiple commercial properties, but I've never really truly put an offer in. So I just want you guys to understand, man. I want you guys to listen to the entire video. And I want you to tell me in the comment section, was that a good offer? Should I have taken that offer, or should I have countered with something with that offer? I just want to tell you guys my mindset. I felt like I've already went back four times trying to make something work. And, you know, I just felt like he was set on what he wanted. You know, he wanted his closing costs paid, and he wanted to maximize the most money he could have got out of it. And I've told you guys about this resource, and I hope you guys hear me well. It's called PropStream. I really love it. I'm trying to remember. I think his name is Clyde. He's the one who told me about PropStream. Yeah, I think it's Clint. My boy Clint, man. He put me on game, man. I love PropStream. You guys definitely need to sign up for it. It literally tells you what somebody paid for that property. It literally tells you the name. And you could do a lot more research. And that's what I did. And I'm like, nah, I gave this man a good deal. All right. But once again, drop something in the comment section, man. Let me know. Let's get some dialogue going. If you got a deal, hit me up. I'm definitely looking. Also, I want to promote, you know, advocacy that you guys become property owners. Of course, I want you guys to just go out there. I was that guy as well. Like, I understand some people just don't want to pull the trigger. I understand that sometimes you're like, man, I want to do this. Understand it's not as hard as you believe, man. Understand that the people that you see that's in these suit and ties, they look smart and say all these fantastic words and know every word in the dictionary. It's cool and all right. But a lot of them, they really don't know what they're doing. A lot of them are just winging it, you know. So don't feel like you're not educated enough, or you're not smart enough, or you just don't know enough. Don't believe that. Understand that this game is built for everybody. You just have to have time and patience. Everything that I learned took a while to pick up, you know, contract wise. But as you're going through the process, I promise you, you'll pick it up. You'll pick it up. And if not, that's why you got that realtor and you question that realtor every day. Man, I call my realtor, text him nonstop about the dumbest questions. It's like I said, you don't feel like it's a dumb question. And the moment someone feels like they want to laugh at you because you're asking a dumb question, don't worry about it. Let me go find another realtor who's going to take me serious. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what time I'm on. That's what time I'm on, period. So if you're not willing to educate me on what I need to learn, then I can't keep you around. I can't keep you around because you want to hold all the knowledge for you. That's just like having friends around you who are doing better than you. Mayweather said it himself. It's nice being with some billionaires. It's nice doing this and doing that, you know, and riding your stuff. But I need my own. And what kind of person would he have been if he was just milking off of somebody? That's the right question to ask. I wouldn't want nobody around me to be just, you know, just going along with the ride and not asking questions. So, once again, man, that was part two of The Laundromat. I got another video dropping every Friday. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. And like I said, follow, comment, subscribe. Do all that stuff with notification. Hit your boy up. Peace. Stop the excuses. Let's get it.